You said that you had two chances to make, you know, in the movies.
Yes, I did.
What were those two chances?
Well, the first chance that I went to interview for this called Elephant Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple reason I couldn't make it, they asked me, do I know anything about music? I mm-hmm. said, no. Mm-hmm. But anything else, like riding an elephant, or I'm scared of a wild animal, I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I was lack of is music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the only reason why I couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And the second chance I have is Charlie Chan's son. The reason why I couldn't make it was intelligent enough to make a speech and different thing. And it happened, this is Victor Young,
mm-hmm.
One of my best friends uh-huh. to start with. And he is the one that got, that's how he got started.
Uh-huh.
He's the one that got the job.
Uh-huh.
And with that, that's how he got to be a movie actor.
I see.
And then in the future later, then I met Ki Luk,
mm-hmm.
and then I met that Korean film, Shul Ban.
Uh-huh.
See, I met them. Because all I met those people that I was working in the studio with, I was just looking at as an extra. And through Tom Governor, as I uh-huh. say, see, because Tom Governor's the one that take care of all that. Furnish all the costume
mm-hmm.
and different article for the set, you know, like mm-hmm. the vase and
mm-hmm.
some like canned food and vegetable, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also he's a technical advisor.
Uh-huh.
And I usually, once in a while, when he's shorthanded, he asks me to help him out on it.
Uh-huh.
On it.
As an extra?
At a studio.
A studio?
We're making a picture.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I met some all those, one of the Oriental famous stars. And except for one I didn't meet is Wong, what's his name? Fong.
You mean Benson?
Benson Fong, yeah.
Right.
I didn't meet him.
Uh-huh.
He's the only one that I know I didn't meet.
Uh-huh.
But the rest of the thing I met, whoever it is.
I see. Yeah. So, well, now we get back to working for Tom Govins,
mm-hmm.
okay. Last time we didn't have chance to go into it, you said Tom Govins decided to ask you to help him in the store, and he sent you back to school.
Yes.
So you said in the morning you will go to school, and then after school you will help in the store. Can you describe a little bit more about the stores? What kind of job and what kind of customers Tom Govins had, and also did Tom Govins actually take care of the business most of the time?
Yes. Actually, Tom Govins' business is for a studio, for the technical advisor, and also he rent costume. Costume, yeah.
Yeah.
And also different art and ends that to the studio. And then that's how when I first got there, that's how he's trying to help me out on it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this person, Tom Govins, is a very nice fellow, very
mm-hmm.
kind-hearted. And in about a year later, that he told me personal that he said he didn't know what kind of person I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I happened like a bum to before I met him. And he gave me a job. And he thought I was like the rest of the other fellow, that shouldn't he get a little set up and money left, leave him, don't even know him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he told me. That he said, I didn't know this kind of fellow you are. I think you are a very nice fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And all this time, you helped me out, you know, I mean, worked for him, and never say a word.
Mm-hmm.
And what I told him, said, look, I said, when I came over to you, I was in the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
You picked me up, and any person would do things like that for me, I never go, against him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other fellow that he helped out, all the people we say he helped out, he still doesn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to hate him. Because to my opinion, the reason why the people hate him, because he's a kind-hearted man.
Mm-hmm.
When a person's run down, he help him out, give him a job, especially people with a family.
Mm-hmm.
But only one mistake that he always did, and personal, myself, I didn't like it myself either. Of course, the reason why I don't say anything, because he picked me up as a gutter and bring me up as I am today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the reason why people don't like him is that every time we help him out, he bawl him out
mm-hmm.
first and tell him what bad thing he's been doing
mm-hmm.
and what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And bring out all the
bad thing
in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the reason why the people doesn't like it. Then after, when they tell you out and boil you out, in other words, to my opinion, I think he's trying to teach him a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And after, when he finished all the boiling out, then he helped him out very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they financed low, he gave him some money, and he had never asked to return.
Mm-hmm.
He always said, I lent you the money. You should remember, pay me back.
Mm-hmm.
But he never did ask any people that he given money to. And he never get any money, not even a mm-hmm. single penny.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. He did help out a lot of Chinese only, or he did help other people as well?
Or he had anybody that asked him for help, he never refused it. Mm-hmm. He's always helping.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Who is he? How can he help so many people? Do you know his background a little bit?
Not too much background. On the background, I know what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
That his father is English.
Mm-hmm.
His mother is Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was born in Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
and he went to a Chinese school. In fact, he know more Chinese than most any Chinese in read and write.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
I see.
Because he went to a Chinese school in Hong Kong.
I see.
And he also met another fellow, but in the same position that he is, called Vincent Lau.
Mm-hmm.
And they both go to school in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another fellow, I forgot his name as well, I never met him,
mm-hmm.
just maybe once or twice.
Uh-huh.
There's three of them
uh-huh.
in Hong Kong. In fact, four of them, his brother too, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Joe Gubbins. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, when they're little kids, they're born in Hong Kong, and they run around together and grow up together. And then Tom, at first, he was in, San Francisco as an immigration officer and interpreter for the Chinese.
Uh-huh.
And then he got in trouble with a woman, and the woman sued him. And I don't know what outcome it, because got a little boy there,
mm-hmm.
and she claimed it was his,
mm-hmm.
and he claimed it was no.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the girl assumed, that's why he left immigration office, came to Los Angeles. When he came to Los Angeles, somehow he got in with the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he opened the studio for renting costume. And different art name, what you call it, prop, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, I think his first picture, biggest picture he made most money is what you call Tell to the Marine, I think that's his first picture. It's the biggest picture,
mm-hmm.
biggest picture. He make money on that. And then during that time there, Vincent looked to him, or he already know Vincent where he lived. Anyway, he hired Vincent to take care of the store.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he'd go out in the studio and be a technical advisor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see. So, did he mentioned how many years were he in Hong Kong, like
No, he didn't. All I know what he told me about immigration and about his business. And
I see.
And besides, when I know him, well, I consider that just boy, already grown up. And once a while he wrote to him. And then he came visit to him. And Tom found out he seemed to be a bad boy. He is wild. See, don't want to listen to what Tom says. See? So he's, I guess he sent him back to his mother or something. Don't have nothing to do with him.
The parents stay in Hong Kong.
Yeah,
they didn't come.
Yeah, they didn't come.
I see. Did Tom Gubbins mention any reasons that he came to the United States?
No, he didn't. But don't forget, he got a sister in Hong Kong too, living in Kowloon.
I see.
And I think he's the oldest, I think. And I think his sister, well, actually, I don't know who's the older, who's the youngest.
Okay.
See. Joe's brother, he in San Francisco, and he's still working as an immigration interpreter.
I see.
See? And then later on, then he got an offer in San Francisco as an interpreter, as a lawyer, like.
Oh, I see. Is he still in San Francisco now?
I think he died already.
Oh, I see.
I think, I don't know about sister. Maybe sister's gone, just because sister's pretty old now.
Okay.
If she lived, she may be around by 80 or 90.
Do you know when did Tom Gubbins came to Los Angeles?
When
you met?
Oh, he already established business and things like that already. At least, I would say 31, I came over. And the way he said, actually, I don't know what year he came down, but the way he said that Telto Marina is the first picture, it doesn't seem to be too long, maybe about 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
See?
I see.
And when he came over, maybe about 2 years before that, that's just my estimate.
Okay,
actually,
yes.
I don't know when.
Right,
see? I mean, at least came over 5-6 years before I met him.
Okay. See? Yeah. Did he ever mention that why he set up a store in Chinatown?
A what?
In Chinatown, you know. Set the store.
Oh, why he have a store?
In Chinatown.
Well, he had a store there just as a business. See, his name is, the name is the Asiatic Costume Company.
Mm-hmm.
And he also have all kind of vase, all kind of costume, and any porcelain, and the store, what the store have.
Right,
all
okay.
And he's in a business on that. At the same time, he used that store as a headquarter for the movie actress and actor. See?
So was he the first one that hiring Chinese or handling Chinese actor, actress?
Well, no, he's not the first one. There is another Chinese, I think it's Chu or somebody, I forgot his name. He started first because when they need any Oriental people to work in the studio, because during those days there, no Oriental light work in the studio because simple reason why every time when they make a picture, they make the picture of the Chinese and smoke opium, the open dandelion, and they don't like it. And had during those time they have a hard time to get the Chinese to play in those parts.
Is that right?
That's why you see doing back those old timers, silent picture, you don't see hardly any Chinese at all. You see American people dressed as Chinese acting. And during that time before Tom Gubbins, one fellow here, right, he have a hard time, he trying to get it, then a lot of time he couldn't get it. So he and Tom Gubbins began to know each other. So that's how little by little Tom Gubbins took over.
I see.
And he didn't care the alpha because he have a hard time. He just wanted to just make a little living out of that. So little by little, step by step there, then Tom Gum took over the whole place.
So actually in 1931, when you first met Tom Gubbins, he didn't act as an agent yet.
Oh yes, already established, yeah, very well over here.
I see. So actually you were just talking about it before.
Before, yeah, by at least 10 years back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see.
When Tom Gubbin gradually take over.
I see.
That's how he started that store over there.
Okay. How did he operate this business?
Well, the studio called him up. At first, I think when he went in this business, he and this Chinese fellow here together help each other out, and they go to studio to, you know, to different places to learn, to meet those people that doing business.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he got started. See, so little by little, Tom Gubbin took over. He didn't care.
Yes.
And so that's how Tommy established the business. Then he know the people in the studio,
mm-hmm.
and who they are,
mm-hmm.
and what people he will deal with.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so that's how he opened the store here.
Uh-huh.
Getting at first when he started opening, it's very little merchandise he got.
Uh-huh.
And all those like costume renting. First he called people, no costume rented yet. At first, right, the like studio wants some so and so, so many people. So many women, so many children, or so many men. Well, they call him up,
mm-hmm.
and ask how many they want.
Mm-hmm.
So he the one that go around Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
and look for these people.
I see. Uh-huh.
And that's how he started. See?
Uh-huh. And then, because he spoke Chinese,
yes. You see, what he do kind of business, the way every time, like each person working, he get 10% mm-hmm. of his pay cut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, 10 cents on a dollar.
I see.
He gets it.
Uh-huh. So
and at the same time, he's they always hire him as technical advisor at his salary itself. And then he rented the custom as another business there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the 10% cut on his pay.
I see. Yeah. Was he quite busy in this business, or in terms of being a actor, actress, agent.
As far as I remember back in 31 when know him, as far as the business concerned, it's pretty good because they at least 1 to 2 pictures a year,
mm-hmm.
Oriental pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And when once Oriental picture come out, he make good money.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How many people do they use average, you know? I mean, it depends on the movies.
Yeah, depend on the movie, how many people the movie
they need
uh-huh. for extra.
Uh-huh.
They call it extra.
Uh-huh.
See? And of course, for actor, and they want a so-and-so actor that they call. In fact, I think once or twice, I think it's the age for Anna Mae Wong.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, Anna Mae Wong went on her own, get the agent of her own.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like Key Look, of course, he never have time, but Key Look, he on his own from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And Victor Young, he from San Francisco, and he happened to know his dad. And when he came down in L.A., I was already there.
Uh-huh.
I think he came down in L.A. back in 33 or 34 in that year.
Mm-hmm.
Then he stayed in L.A. because his father wrote to Tom, told him to take care of the Victor.
I see.
Uh-huh. So Tom did.
Uh-huh.
And that's how he got into the studio.
Right? Oh, I see.
Yeah. Of course, Benson Fong, I never did met him because I don't know how he go by get in.
I see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Of course, all three of them are college graduates.
Uh-huh. Right? I see.
And Key Look, he from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And he always on his own.
Mm-hmm.
He never did, but I guess he know Tom Gubbin.
Uh-huh. I see.
They
all work in the same.
All the same, yeah.
Studio or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. So these are the college graduate.
Right.
Oh, I see. So back to when you just came, Tom Gobbins already had the costume rental.
Oh yeah, his business pretty well established. Right?
Mm-hmm. I see. So the same time it's you know, going both. And do you remember like the any movie they use many Chinese, you know, the most of the Chinese, and
yes,
how many people, mm-hmm, how many Chinese did they
Well,
have?
How many, I don't know.
Right?
There's quite a few, because I think it's since I've been working for him, I think this Good Earth has got the most Chinese people work in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I have been working extra there and every day with it. After
uh-huh.
Good Earth, that's how I got a chance to save some money, went back to China, and got married.
I see. Yeah. Was Good Earth the first one that you worked?
No. I think the first pictures I work is The Hatchet Man,
mm-hmm,
played
oh, yes, you
by
mentioned
that Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
See? And then next one is Shanghai Express,
mm-hmm,
and General Diet Don,
mm-hmm,
and Good Earth,
mm-hmm,
Oil for Lamb of China, and all
mm-hmm
those pictures. And on of all these day that I work in there, I think the best part I ever got is got a speaking part is Oil for Lamb of China.
That's
uh-huh one. The rest of it, I just put myself in as extra just to make money.
Uh-huh.
Because I lost a couple chances like that, but ever since I forget it.
I
try to get in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know I wasn't born for that.
Was that very exciting when you first had chance to go in?
It is very exciting.
Uh-huh.
When the first don't know anything how they go about how to make the picture, yeah, I was really surprised how they make it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was really surprised.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you were so like in the background,
the background,
extras,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And how did they pay you?
Well, they pay because the studio, when they call Tom, they always show so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Pay so much. Tom already know that.
Uh-huh.
And like $7.50 they when I first started,
mm-hmm,
$7.50 a good money.
That's
1931.
Okay.
$7.50
a day.
A day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then they have a $10 a day. And they have $15 a day, that $25 a day. Got each you go high. In other words, if you in front the camera, and they want you in front of camera, they probably you cost maybe you'll be paying for $10, $15,
mm-hmm,
depending on how much acting you do.
Uh-huh.
Now, if a speaking part, and they even say yes, just one word, you start some get from $15 or $25.
I see.
It depends who you are.
Uh huh.
I see.
So that's like all in 1931?
Back in 31, yeah. So anything when you have sound come out of you, that's been called a speaking part.
Mm-hmm.
So you get pay, more pay.
Uh-huh.
See, it's just extra. You just run around the background, or sometimes you could run in the fork right in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
It pay you $7.50.
Uh-huh, I see.
And then later on, back in 35, then some Filipinos one trying to take Tom's place, and he get cheaper price because he trying to cut his price down.
I see.
It's for $5. In okay fact, the smallest price is for $3, but we never work for that price. We always from $7.50 and up.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Filipino trying to take over is from I think it's from $3.50, $5 and up.
So the studio will use Filipinos people because it's cheaper.
Yes, some do, but they don't know who they ask.
Uh-huh.
See, because in this business, that depends who you know,
mm-hmm,
not what you could do.
I see.
See,
uh-huh.
And Tom, since Tom there, he's white and speak Oriental picture, Oriental and Chinese, and it's Chinese picture, so it's pretty hard to get his job away.
I see. So, did the Chinese actor come over and ask for a job?
Well, I don't think they come over, but they do come visit him and things like that. But if anything, Tom already have on his list and what kind of job, who they want, and if any call for a certain thing, and Tom know who could think he could do that job.
I see.
He called him.
Yeah, was that considered a very high-paid job as an extra?
Well, in those days, I think it is pretty high.
Yeah, for example, of course, at the beginning, you said that Tom Gubbins said that whatever you make, you know, it's over $20, then, you know, it's he doesn't pay you.
Yeah.
No. I mean, as a job. Okay, I'm talking about the regular income. So how much do you make, like, say, a month working for Tom Gubbins?
Well, it's pretty hard to say, because a picture, when this picture is going on, maybe you only have about sometimes 1 or 2 years, two pictures, I mean, a year.
Mm-hmm.
See, if there's more pictures, more working day in there. And the less picture, less working day. And they pay you by the day, or they pay you by the a contract, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
See, so during those time there, actor and actress make good money, but it's hard to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are an actor.
Mm-hmm.
See, I mean a bit player.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a big player, sometimes you get quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
When there's extra, it's pretty hard to make a living.
Because you have only 1 or 2 films a year.
Right.
And you probably get a 1 or 2 weeks' work.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I see.
Sometimes maybe 1 month's work the most, or maybe 2 at the most.
Uh-huh. So most of these people who, you know, act as an actress, do they have any side business? They have to.
Well,
to make a living.
Yes. Some people actually, well, most people is not have an extra. See, most people are trying to depend on it. As they go by, they just like we say, you're a penniless person. You don't care if you're penniless or not. It's just for waiting to. In other words, a lazy person.
They just want waiting to buy, for
waiting
called.
For a big call. That's right. Yeah. A few do have those jobs, and few do, you know, have money enough to back up on them. Some people have now back up, and they just sit down and wait for Stuart to satisfy. That's their job.
I see. Uh-huh.
And so every time when Tom have a few one, he got a hard. Actually, a lot of people doesn't like him, because he say he favor for a certain person, and always give him job and don't give to me.
Uh-huh.
That's another thing is against him, right? For in his position, is it very hard? Because in the first place, a person worked the extra maybe about 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this person already know once in a while he make play a big player, and a lot of time he extra. Well, naturally he's gonna call the person dependable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he don't call the person who's not dependable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why he knows certain people dependable, he call certain people. Well, the rest of our people see that he works so much, they're jealous, and still doesn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he made law his, we would say, enemy, as you want to call it.
And right. These people who are capable or, dependable, are not the ones that really need the money. I mean, as bad as some of the others, and probably that's also the other.
Right, that's how some of those people are jealous, because some people maybe need the money, mm-hmm. and these people don't need it.
Mm-hmm. But they are more dependable.
More dependable. And they probably, these people depend on this job,
mm-hmm.
to make a living. Mm-hmm. And the other people like to work, but they didn't get a chance when they do work, you know, make good money. See? And they want to try and get in the right way, you know, like the rest of their job.
I see. See? Do they have anything against Tom Gubbins getting 10% commission, thinking that he's getting too much?
No. I haven't heard anybody say anything about that.
Uh-huh. Because they actually depend on Tom Gubbins to get the job,
right.
So
uh-huh.
they wouldn't complain about
no,
it. The only thing is the
is by giving the job.
The
opportunity to get the job. That's
uh-huh.
the only thing. And another thing, well, who help out? He bought him out first and then help him out. Mm-hmm. That's two things that nobody likes him about it.
I see. Do you know about Tom Gubbins' list? Like who were the most, how many people were on the list of the most dependable ones, and how many others are on the list? You know, I mean, just approximate the numbers.
Well, he doesn't have a list, but he have an on inside of him.
Oh,
and,
I see.
And he just, see, another thing too, see, when I work with Tom Gubbin, there's about three fellow working for him beside me.
Okay.
See, one is Vincent Knott.
Uh-huh.
The other one is Lou Loy, taking care of all the costume, you
uh-huh.
know, running.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is Ben Kwan.
Mm-hmm.
He also helped with Lou Loy.
Uh-huh.
This like studio wants so many costume, they do it, fix it all up in the center line.
Uh-huh.
And when they come back, they come to take care of them, put it back out.
Uh-huh.
And then when I came along, I in with Lou Loy. See.
I see.
Then later on, I don't know if Ben Kwan got paid on that, because later on Ben Kwan he don't doing the work for him.
Mm-hmm.
See? And to my opinion, I don't think that Ben Kwan is get paid.